Jeff Passan, a lot has happened since you were last on this podcast, but I just want to start with, I think, the question that everybody has been asking themselves. Was your old Twitter password like baseball, but the L's are just ones? Like, what were you doing?
Honestly, I didn't know that a password called password was not going to be safe. totally on me. My bad.
So please explain exactly how it is that you got here in this place of both shame and also increased security around your online life.
I feel like notoriety is the right word for this. My father, as pedantic a man as there is, always told me that notoriety comes from something negative. And I've always tried to avoid notoriety because of my father's words. And it just so happened on the biggest news day of the baseball calendar this year, the day that wound up with a new collective bargaining agreement being signed, I got hacked. And I got hacked, Pablo, for one reason and one reason alone. And that reason is something that I have been staving off for years, denying.
Oh no. Jeff, what happened?
I was trying to log on to Twitter that day. You know, big news day, right? Like, baseball is either coming back or it is going to have a catastrophic outcome. And I don't know if this is pure happenstance or what it is, but at that point, I get a message on my phone, a text message that says, "We've had unusual activity detected in India. And we need you to go and get a specific passcode." And I'm like, well, I have two-factor authentication, and this is the second factor. And so I go and get this thing. And then from that same number, it says, okay, well, we need to get this from you now. And I'm like, great, I'm going to have access to my Twitter account back. All is going to be well. And so I send this along as well. And the next message I get from this number says, "Yo, hacked by Instagram @," and then he puts the handle in there. And he proceeds to follow up later on with another message to me that says, "Let Twitter know who ran that page, bitch." Doesn't feel great. And there was a point at which I was sitting in my bed, had the computer on my lap, and my poor wife, God bless her, is worried all of a sudden that my idiocy has compromised our bank accounts, has compromised our children's college fund, has compromised all of these other things.
And that in your bio, you were now an NFT enthusiast.
Yes.
And then a baseball insider, and then a father, and then a husband. Yeah, that was a little conspicuous.
I was ostensibly selling NFTs, and suddenly overnight purveyor of the finest and only the finest NFTs. Well, if that's the case, I've actually gotten into real estate and I have a bridge to sell you.
And so now, Jeff, I assume you've changed your login info.
My password now is so long and so completely ridiculous, I have forgotten it. And and I know I'm supposed to have good password hygiene now, so I don't think that anyone's going to guess it. Let's put it that way.
I imagine there's a whole lot of punctuation marks in there, a lot of alternating caps and lowercase letters, a lot of stuff to make up for how unsanitary your password hygiene used to be.
It's dirty.
The national pastime, much like Jeff Passan, suffered through a panic-inducing, financially dangerous identity crisis during Major League Baseball's lockout last month. But after Jeff broke back into his account to successfully break the biggest baseball news of the year and also stop hawking crypto, everything changed. And we learned that we'd have a full-length regular season after all. So today, on opening day, we catch you up on what you need to know about the 162 games to come and how an influx of new money and new technology are shifting pennant races and pushing our oldest sport into a sometimes terrifying future. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, April 7th. This is ESPN Daily. Jeff Passan, I realize now looking back on the baseball calendar that it was just an extra week that we had to wait to get to opening day, but it felt like a lot longer. So how are you feeling?
I feel great, Pablo. I could be sitting here right now covering a labor dispute that's going on 4+ months about players and owners fighting over billions of dollars. And as many issues as baseball had over the winter, as many dark days as there were, as many moments as there were where I sat there and said, what is this sport doing to itself? Why is baseball self-immolating?
Yeah.
Instead, I am going to be at a baseball stadium. I'm going to be inside a major league clubhouse for the first time since the 2019 World Series.
Man,
I look at it like the fire department came, put it out, and there's no residue left over. Everything just looks bright, dandy. The grass is greener. The smell in the air is delicious. And the sound of bat hitting ball, that distinctive crack that you get every time you go to a baseball game, I'm going to be hearing it for the next 7 months, and I cannot wait.
But Jeff, hold on, because you're about to give me like a Bull Durham monologue about the beauty of baseball. And so I actually want to know, what are you most excited about specifically about this season after being away from the game for such a long time, live and in person?
Can I give you a Bull Durham monologue on Shohei Ohtani?
You know what? Yes, please do.
I'm glad you said yes there, because I was going to do it anyway. What Shohei Ohtani did last year, and listen, I've been covering baseball since 2004. So this is going to be my 19th season. I have seen some incredible things. I saw the Boston Red Sox win the World Series for the first time in 86 years. I saw the Chicago Cubs win the World Series for the first time in more than a century. I saw Barry Bonds break Henry Aaron's home run record. I've never seen anything like what Shohei Ohtani did in 2021. He was two players in one. It's a ridiculous thing to say, but I don't think there's an analog to this in any other sport.
No.
Where somebody is dominant on both sides of the game. And he's doing it at a time when baseball players are better than they've ever been. I was bouncing around from camp to camp this spring and on the phone with player development people, other executives, coaches, and players. The number of guys who I heard are sitting at 100 miles per hour with their fastball absolutely blew me away. We're just at a point now where baseball has evolved into an extreme power game, both on the batting end and on the pitching end as well. And the fact that Shohei Ohtani personifies both of those things, that he has, in baseball parlance, light tower power. You know, a guy who's hitting balls on the regular 450 plus feet.
Oh, got it! Got it! Got it!
Oh, wow. Where did that one go?
463 feet.
And then turns around and steps on the mound, not just as a one-inning reliever who's blowing guys away, but as a starting pitcher every 6 days.
Got it. Split-fingered fastball. Down goes Seager. That's 10 strikeouts.
It's just incredible. Not that he can do this physically, but that he can do it mentally as well. It's the combination of those two things that makes him so extremely fascinating to me and makes me so excited to go and see if he can do it again, because what he did the first time around was beyond my wildest expectations.
No, Jeff, he is actually like a character in a baseball movie that we'd all deem too unrealistic. And you're saying that this year, there's a chance that he may do something even more impressive? And yet, Jeff, it's important to remember that the Angels are not one of the obvious contenders in this sport, speaking to how difficult the sport is. And so I wanted to catch everybody up on like what to expect this season in terms of who's actually contending here. But I guess starting with the Atlanta Braves, because that's the team that won. They were unexpected in doing so. And this offseason, I'm curious whether they look better or worse to you than they did on the day they won the title.
The Braves were a very good team last year that got hot at the right time. This year, Pablo, they are a great team. And they just so happen to be in a difficult division that has another team in the New York Mets that wants to be great, and another team in the Philadelphia Phillies that is trying to be great, and another team in the Miami Marlins that believes it has the chance, even in a division like that, to make some noise this year.
But on the Freeman thing, Jeff, how surprised were you by the fact that he's no longer a Brave?
I think I might have been less surprised than Freddie Freeman was, actually, which is a weird thing to say, but it was abundantly clear that the Braves had no intention of going more than 5 years on a contract with him. And look, you can criticize the Braves if you want for that. Looking at the guy who was so clutch for you in the World Series, who weathered some bad years there and really had become the heart of that franchise, and seeing him end up in Dodger Blue, I think it was a weird thing around the sport for people to come to terms with, but I had a sense that the relationship with the Braves was not necessarily what people thought that it was.
Because he was beloved, Jeff, in Atlanta. I mean, he's one of those popular players in the city.
Is beloved. Like, I don't think anything's changed there. And the part about it that strikes me the most is I think 28 other organizations and their fan bases would have been thrilled to get Matt Olson in a trade. And Braves fans, while they're on board with him, and as well they should be, he's not Freddie, right? He's not the guy who they spent the first decade of his career falling in love with him.
And speaking of teams who are willing to pay out the nose for players, Jeff, I mean, let's talk about the Mets. You just alluded to them as a contender now in the NL East. But there is a Cohen tax, which is a term of art for what exactly? Referring to the owner of the team now, multi-gazillionaire Steve Cohen.
It's pretty impressive to get something named after you within a year of owning a team, right? And and it's even cooler to get something named after you because you're extraordinarily rich. As we know from watching this entire winter, the competitive balance tax or luxury tax threshold was a big deal in collective bargaining negotiations. And players wanted it to go a lot higher than the $210 million. In the end, the players got a pretty hefty bump in the CBT threshold from $210 million at the lowest level last year to $230 starting this season. But the 230 is not the only number. See, in baseball, there are different tiers. And so if you spend more than $230 million, you get taxed at a particular rate between 230 and 250. Baseball added a fourth level of CBT threshold at $290 million that quickly got nicknamed the Steve Cohen tax because of the fear, frankly, that the Mets owner is going to blow so far through all of the other CBT thresholds that he and perhaps others eventually need one of their own.
Yeah, Jeff, this is a guy, Steve Cohen, a hedge fund manager who has a net worth of somewhere around, I don't know, like $16 billion, allegedly the real life inspiration for the Showtime series Billions.
I mean, I don't think Steve Cohen is Bobby Axelrod necessarily, but I think Bobby Axelrod was modeled after Steve Cohen, and he grew up a New York Mets fan. He is a diehard fan, and you know what happens when fans buy teams? They want championships. They want rings. And the last time the New York Mets had a ring was 35 years ago. It's a long time for any organization to wait. And so to see what happened this offseason, and all of this happened before the lockout, going out and getting Eduardo Escobar for $20 million and Mark Canna for $26.5 million and Starling Marte for $78 million. And then the coup de grace, Max Scherzer, $130 million over 3 years, the $43.33 million a year, the highest average annual value in baseball history. And you add him to a team that already has Jacob deGrom, and all of a sudden Mets fans, who I'm not going to call them the most tortured, because I grew up in Cleveland and I know what tortured actually feels like.
Fair.
And because Buffalo still exists, but you can argue that they may be the most tortured in baseball at this point. And to have Mets fans so extremely excited about what this season's going to look like, with Jacob deGrom starting game one, Max Scherzer, a guy who would be opening day starter for just about every other club in the game, out in game two. Well, that went awry pretty quickly, and we may not see Jacob deGrom pitch for the first couple months of the season because he has a stress reaction in his scapula. If there were a more Mets thing to happen, Pablo, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah, a stress reaction, Jeff, is kind of the perfect, most Metsy injury there to suffer. But coming up, I want to talk about the superpower, the real superpower that Freddie Freeman went to, and what noun I should be using here to describe my New York Yankees.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Jeff, the team that the Mets took Scherzer from, speaking of arms changing hands, mixing lots of physical metaphors here, but also the team that took Freddie Freeman from the Braves is, of course, the Dodgers. And they have had a bunch of turnover this offseason. How would you describe what exactly has transpired here with this Dodgers roster?
Well, first they lost their shortstop, Corey Seager, homegrown guy, when he's healthy, has been absolutely magnificent, to a $325 million 10-year contract with the Texas Rangers. One of the first free agent signings this offseason, happened before the lockout. It's a loss, but the Dodgers just so happen to have Trey Turner, who is arguably a better player than Corey Seager. And why? Because they're the Dodgers. Because they have everyone. Because they can go out and get who they want. They signed Danny Duffy, who's hurt, because they can. They pick up Craig Kimbrell in a trade for A.J. Pollock, who they can move because they have Gavin Lux ready to take every day at bat. What the Dodgers have in spades is depth. And that's how you get a team that wins the National League West seemingly every year, except last year, and is favored to run away with the division again this year. And if they don't win 100 games, it's going to be a disappointment. And that's how the Dodgers operate.
And so the team that has been, to be clear here, in three of the last five World Series now, the team that's been in five of the last six League Championship Series in the NL, you have them in the World Series again yourself.
I do. Maybe I'm a sucker, but...
Well,
I like
we know you are by now in the episode.
I was going to say, we have established that, haven't we? So take this, Pablo, with a grain of salt.
So when you look across the National League, Jeff, and there's already this degree of chaos among the teams that you really like, who else are you keeping an eye on? Because the Giants, by the way, happen to be the team that won the NL West, but I assume there are a bunch of other things that you personally are intrigued by here.
The Giants are very intriguing to me. Buster Posey retired this offseason. They went out and didn't entirely remake their starting rotation. They brought Anthony DeSclafani back. They brought in Carlos Rodon. Logan Webb is coming off a breakout season.
2-2. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Logan Webb punches out Bellinger. 7 innings of one-run baseball for the right-hander. Outstanding again.
The Milwaukee Brewers, another team, just because of its frontline starting pitching with Brandon Woodruff and Cy Young winner Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta, it's tough to find a trio as dominant as those three are. And the Phillies, to me, if you want to talk about intriguing,
yeah,
the Phillies are going very old school. They're saying, hey, defense, we don't care about you. We'll sign Kyle Schwarber. We'll sign Nick Castellanos. We want dudes who can hit bombs, and we want to out-offense you every single night. And you know what? That is what the goal is for the Philadelphia Phillies. Can they hit more than their opponent?
So, Jeff, it feels like the most contested divisional race we're going to see this year is, in fact, the AL East, the one that I personally care the most about. And I don't apologize to Baltimore. You're not even in the picture, honestly, let's be real. But the four teams that figure to be in the mix, right? We're talking about the Toronto Blue Jays, the Boston Red Sox, of course, the Tampa Bay Rays, and what's going on in the Bronx. So just let me know, Jeff, if I am delusional by feeling that the Yankees cannot possibly be the fourth place team among those four teams.
Well?
Oh, God, no.
I'm not going to say that they are the fourth place team in the American League East. What I will say is that the Toronto Blue Jays, I think, are pretty clearly, on talent alone, the best team in the American League East. What I will say is that the Tampa Bay Rays, even though you look at their roster every year and say, who are these guys? They have as good of a starting rotation, if everyone stays healthy, as they've had since the David Price, James Shields era. They have great defense. They have great depth. They have great versatility. They have a great manager. They have the ability, certainly, to win 90 plus. You have a Boston Red Sox team that, hate to say it, Pablo, beat your beloved New York Yankees in the wild card game last year. And you have a New York Yankees team whose big move this offseason was to trade for a third baseman in his mid-30s and to re-sign a first baseman in his mid-30s.
Yeah. And
when you look up and down that roster right now, the Yankees are not a young team. They are a dangerous team if their lineup stays healthy. Listen, there are the makings of not just a playoff team there, but a dangerous playoff team. There are also the makings, Pablo, of a fourth place team.
Ugh. Yeah, look, I am most concerned about this whole Aaron Judge thing. I mean, you know, there was a little bit of a news cycle around this just this week about whether or not he has already been signed to an extension because he might be a free agent after this season. So what exactly is happening with Aaron Judge, Jeff, in right field?
What's happening is the Yankees have a truly difficult decision to make because you've got competing dynamics here. Dynamic number one is quite simple. Aaron Judge is the best homegrown player the New York Yankees have produced in a very, very long time. He is somebody who hits for power. He is somebody who, when he's healthy, is incredibly talented and productive. He's somebody who represents the pinstripes well. And I think fans love him for what he can be when he's out there on the field. The competing dynamic there is that in multiple years, Aaron Judge has not been on the field. He had 50 games missed in 2018. He missed 60 games in 2019. He missed half the games of the COVID shortened 2020 season. While he played 148 last year and almost hit 40 home runs and had an OPS over 900, he also turns 30 at the end of April. And when you turn 30 in sports, the perspective and opinion of you changes. Aaron Judge, reasonably, rightfully, understandably, wants to get paid gobs of money because some team out there on the open market is going to look at him, say 30 schmerdy, and give him whatever he wants. The Yankees, they tend not to do that. The reality is Yankees fans think of this organization like they should, which is you guys make more money than any baseball team in existence. And it's one thing if you don't get Corey Seager or Marcus Semien or Carlos Correa or any free agent this offseason who costs, say, over $32 million because that's what they gave Anthony Rizzo and it was the most money they spent on anyone this winter. Okay, we'll give you that. But if you're not paying Aaron Judge, what are we doing here?
No, Jeff, I mean, we have a literal open-air museum located in our outfield that we unironically call Monument Park. We're not grading on a curve here. We want Aaron Judge. We want the guy who we can say all rise to and then stand up and feel like we're in on something good.
Okay, so let me turn this on you, though. You want the Aaron Judge who at 29 hit 39 home runs. Are you going to want Aaron Judge when he's 34? And better yet, the question is, I think, does that matter? Or because they're the Yankees, should we hold them to a different standard than other organizations? Should we look at them and say, because your revenues are so high, you should go out and do frivolous things? Because remember, Pablo, toward the end of George Steinbrenner's life, he did some frivolous things.
No, Jeff, what I resent here is that the Cohen tax was not already claimed as the Yankee tax. it is offensive
it should
that
have
the
been
Mets.
The Steinbrenner tax. That's exactly
yes.
right.
Yes, I'm offended that our billionaire is poorer than their billionaire.
Yeah, I get that. That is a very, very New York problem to have.
But another New York problem, by the way, that I have to think about is that the Blue Jays are just good now. Like, that's the reality I live in, Jeff. It wasn't the way that I grew up.
Pablo, they're not good. They are really good. And I'll tell you, you look up and down that lineup and you go position by position and compare them to the New York Yankees. First base, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Anthony Rizzo. You're taking Vladdy. Second base, yeah. DJ LeMahieu, probably DJ LeMahieu over Kevin Biggio. Shortstop, Bo Bichette over Kiner Falefa. Third base, Matt Chapman over Josh Donaldson. Not big, but, you know, probably beats him out. Center field, George Springer over Aaron Hicks. Right field, I understand Aaron Judge is really, really good. So's Teoscar Hernandez. And the amount of excellent players that the Blue Jays have goes beyond. But the Blue Jays also have something, Pablo, that no other team in baseball does. And I'm not sure if you realize this, but baseball's kind of unvaccinated. Like, I think the vaccination rate among baseball players is probably higher than the national percentage. I don't know if it's by a whole lot, though. And if you are going into Canada, typically, under the current rules of the great country up north, you have to quarantine if you are unvaccinated while going into that country. And Major League Baseball came up with a rule that essentially said, we're just going to pass by this idea that you have to quarantine. If you're not vaccinated, you're not allowed in. And I say all of this while acknowledging that the Toronto Blue Jays in the past 2 years played a significant number of home games in Buffalo, New York, and Dunedin, Florida. So the Blue Jays have been disadvantaged plenty throughout this. But it would be foolish to not acknowledge that there are going to be some really, really good players, perhaps Aaron Judge, who has not talked about his vaccination status publicly, among them, who will not be traveling to play the Toronto Blue Jays this year.
Well, let's get to the team that is coming out of the AL for you, Jeff, because I know you have the Dodgers in the World Series. Who is meeting them at the end of the road here?
So the Chicago White Sox are a very interesting team. It's just a deep, good team. The lineup is nasty. The pitching is solid top to bottom. It's going to be very interesting to see Tony La Russa in year two as the White Sox manager with this bevy of talent and whether he can take them beyond an early playoff exit, which is where they found themselves last year.
I know Tony La Russa is on Twitter, Jeff. He has a verified account. I just refuse to believe that he knows how to get on the internet.
You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see, does Tony La Russa like write out his tweets in longhand and then somebody types them in for him? I'll tell you what. After the hack, I wanted to go like full social media computer diet for a week.
Like go Luddite on it.
That's exactly right.
Which also happens to be, Jeff, the exact opposite approach that Major League Baseball is taking right now in general. And so I do need to ask you about the very fancy new technology that fans are about to become real familiar with after this break.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
But speaking of like the espionage that has consumed this sport, Jeff, we have not talked yet about the Houston Astros, the team that actually won the pennant in the American League last year, the team that, by the way, just lost Carlos Correa, their star shortstop, to the Minnesota Twins in free agency. So what do you see in Houston right now? How good are the Astros at this moment?
Well, they're also getting back Justin Verlander, who missed last season with Tommy John surgery. Lance McCullers was out for the majority of the playoffs as well and is still recovering from a flexor tendon injury. But we saw how good Framber Valdez can be. Luis Garcia, a kid named Jeremy Pena, who really has jumped up prospect lists, is going to take over for Carlos Correa at shortstop and play in an infield that includes Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, and Yuli Gurriel. Listen, you know the Dodgers don't make mistakes, right? That's just something that the organization does well. They win trades, but in terms of trades, Yordan Alvarez is the one that they wish they had back because he is a super-duper star, and having him and Tucker as the centerpiece of this organization going forward makes the Astros pretty comfortable in their position right now, even if they do have some weaknesses.
But the other aspect of the Astros story, Jeff, that I do need a temperature check on is how mad people still are around the game at them. Because I understand that only three position players from the whole sign-stealing championship run are still there. It's just three players. But I also see these stories now about how baseball is suddenly experimenting for the first time in its history with new technology, actually, that is inspired by those players. So what do you make of this technological revolution that has been spurred by the Astros this season?
So there's a device called PitchCom, and it's a little wristband with some buttons on it. And these buttons, you press for pitch type, if you're a catcher, and location. And what happens is that it sends a signal to a tiny little microphone inside of a pitcher's cap. It's so small you can slide it in the area, you know, that sort of runs around the inside of a cap. And in a pitcher's ear, through this little microphone, he will hear what a catcher has called for him to throw, the pitch and the location.
Wait, there's like almost like that TikTok AI voice that says like fastball.
I have yet to hear the voice, but it has, it's not Siri. Like I don't know that it's particularly pleasant. It does, however, speak multiple languages. So if it is a Spanish speaking pitcher, you can adjust it. So it gives it in Spanish.
I love that there's a Duolingo aspect to this technology.
Oh, I mean, Spanish, Korean, Japanese, like, baseball is a truly international sport. And the fact that this technology is in place, I think, is going to make, frankly, for a better game in 2022 and beyond. The idea that signs are going to be stolen by looking at the catcher is now null and void for all the teams that are using PitchCom. If you don't have to worry about protecting your signs, and the fear over that has led to many, many moments of unnecessary agita before playing them. It's almost become a competitive advantage. The fact that you have to spend time on these signs, sign sequences, and the many things you do to try and protect what you're putting down, that's a burden and a weight lifted off of opposing players, and that's an advantage that has been taken away from many teams who, frankly, had gotten in the heads of these other organizations. But beyond both of those things, I've talked with some people who have used this or some version of PitchCom, and what they say is that it's going to speed up games, that catchers aren't going to get crossed up anymore, that the benefits extend beyond just protecting signs into the actual on-field product itself. All of the things I've heard this spring from players, from executives, they've been raving about it, which took me by surprise, honestly, because this is baseball, Pablo.
Yes.
Baseball. Baseball doesn't adjust and adapt. Baseball is the old man shouting from the porch, because that's what baseball does. But to have as many people as unified with the idea that this is something good for the game, I'm optimistic.
Jeff, I just love that we have another thing that can be hacked. Like, it's all fun and games until you call for a slider and it turns out you've just bought an NFT from Jeff.F.
Listen, I have only the freshest and best. So if you want to slider into my DMs, I can hook you up.
Oh, Lord. Jeff Passan, thank you for being the oldest young person that I have ever met.
I don't know what to say to that other than I'll get you some Werther's Originals and let's kick back and have a good time.
Yeah. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.